Been blessed already, haven't you? God's speaking to our hearts, and nothing more speaks to my heart than people making a commitment to Him. Praise God for that. I want to just touch base just once more, asking the Lord to impress the Word to make a difference in our lives. Let's bow our heads. God, as we're here, we seek Your Spirit. We want Your presence with us. And I just ask that You would take the truths that You have for us today and embed them in our hearts. That, Lord, as we leave this place, that they would grow through the days and weeks to come until You come and find that they've done their work in our hearts because You're there. In Christ's name. Amen. Christian symbols are all over. Bumper stickers saying, honk if you love Jesus. When you look at bumper stickers and all the Christian symbols around, you realize there's some things you're probably not going to hear. You're probably not going to hear somebody come up and say, Daddy, can we get one of those stickers so we can drive like they do? Probably not going to find somebody driving by one of those Christians pulled over to the side of the road and said, look, Daddy, that Christian woman has an opportunity to witness to the officer. Probably not going to have, as you're driving by and looking, a recognition of, oh no, I just bumped into Jesus' car. The sticker said so, just on the back. Let's pull one of those Christians over that has one of those stickers and see if they can tell us how to find Jesus. Or some other question, Mommy, what's that shark on the back of their car doing, eating that little fish with legs? All kinds of things go through our minds when we see the Christian icons that are scattered around our world. Quite honestly, they've been totally commercialized. And yet, even though they've been commercialized, there are some of those icons that have deep meaning. Some of those symbols that carry for us truths that'll make a difference in everyday kind of life. I look at the icons of Christianity and realize that some are more relevant in our lives today and speak louder of the Christian experience. The fish with the ichthus. Ichthus is the Greek word for fish. It means, and it's used as an acronym for Jesus Christos, which is the first two, Theos Huios Soter, which means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And so they use that symbol to say the fish represents the experience with Christ. Reality is that today for us, it's probably past its original meaning, some secret code that was used to identify Christians to each other as they made half of the sign and then someone else would come and make the other and they would realize they were Christians and safe from persecution and could begin to exchange on that Christian level. For us, it may just mean that we recognize there was somebody who performed a miracle with loaves and fishes. Somebody that came as a common man and ate fish, even in a last meal with his disciples, before he bade them to go and be fishers of men. For us, the symbol may not have all the same significance, but it has for us a recognition. Another symbol is the empty cross. A cross that's not with that little man on it, as one clerk said behind the counter, but a cross that symbolizes a resurrected Christ who's become victor over death, who's raised and left us with the symbol of the sacrifice that it would give for us. For some, that symbol in itself is a memorial. For others, the dove and the flame symbolize a God who's alive and ready to touch the hearts today, who's alive and stirring inside. I looked through many of the Christian icons that are used today. And you know what I realize? I think we've missed one of the most glaring and one of the most significant icons that is in Scripture. And I have not seen it in any of your houses. No little pictures painted. I actually don't see a picture painted of it and sold in stores. I hear us talk of it very little. Singing songs? I can't think of any songs that have included in it as the main picture. And yet I believe it is the most significant icon. I believe it has built within it some of the greatest salvific truths, truths for salvation of any symbol in God's Word. It was dry form. The meaning had long been lost. In the sanctuary itself, the people had gone through form that they have continued year after year and long since forgotten what it was really about. It was considered sacred and don't let anybody move the form, but the form was carried out in the ceremony in just the same way it had been for years. And although there was blood that flowed from the altars, the real life had gone. The nation of Israel, symbolized very much by that same form of religion, had long since become like the desert around them, dry and lifeless, carrying on duties that they considered to be sacred and yet missing the intrinsic beauty that was there, had becoming through those ceremonies so rote it was like tying your shoe or taking a breath, nothing that people thought of, just carrying out habit. And it was in this kind of a form of religion that Jesus came. Just outside the walls where those very ceremonies were being performed, Jesus came. And he threatened their form of religion. He threatened the commonplace. He threatened the ceremony with a life with God himself. With a God that was present. And they couldn't handle it. And they crucified him just outside the gate. And at this very hour, as the priest begins his walk amidst the smoking incense that sends up its beautiful fragrance, as he begins his walk on the Passover sacrifice, the real Passover lamb has just been crucified. With his final words, "It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit," he gives up his life. And then, at that same time, deep in the heart of the temple, the earth begins to quake. A rock outside splits in half. The sound builds in turmoil as the earth itself seems to be heaving. And from on top, power begins to seem, and if hands ripping a curtain from the top to the bottom, this huge temple curtain that had served in Moses' day to symbolize the doorway between the God of the most holy place and the sinners, the three doors that separated them between most holy place, and the outer court, each one of them a veil and a curtain ripped in two from top to bottom. The priest, in the turmoil, drops the knife that was about to deliver that death plunge to the lamb. The lamb runs off. And as the curtain is ripped and torn, a blazing light shines forth, as if pulling the light on the curtains and seeing daylight, the light of the Shekinah in the temple of God, his very presence is open to the people as he's sitting on his throne in his magnificent glory, and it shines before them, and the priest hides his eyes as the dazzling brilliance of his glory is displayed throughout the temple. And then the glory passes, and it leaves this place. The curtain has been torn. The curtain has been torn. As significant as the cross, the curtain has been torn. Psalm 27, verse 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and rocks were split." Can you see the significance? The rumble as the curtain is ripped. The very first act of God after the death of his son was to rip the curtain in the temple. What does it mean? What's its significance to us as Christians? We understand the cross. We talk about the dove. What does the torn curtain mean? Should we wear little symbols of torn curtains? Paste them on our cars? Paint them in our homes? Maybe. Because maybe it would remind us of the truth of the torn curtain. Maybe we could understand the deep meaning of the torn curtain within the temple. What does it mean? Hebrews 10. Verses 19 and 20. "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure in the water. It says, a new and living way. Let us come before the throne in a new and living way. I think the first thing that torn curtain means is that the old form is obsolete. It's gone. It's past. I think almost every Christian realizes that, and that's where we stop. That old surface is gone. Reality is their analog religion no longer worked in a digital age. A new experience had come, a different way of connecting with God, a new system that clarified the past. The temporary detour was now no longer necessary because the main highway was open. God had set it out. He made it plain. The old had passed. But you know, it could have been different. It could have been different. If the Jewish people had accepted Jesus, this very ceremony could have been much different. The priests themselves could have advanced, as they had many times in the sanctuary before, with shouts of trumpets and hallelujahs and praising God, and with the people intact behind as they watched the ceremony of approaching the glorious presence of God. And then, curtain by curtain, it could have dropped, and they could have folded it among the hallelujahs of the people, that God had opened the path to his own throne. And instead of fear, there could have been gratitude. Instead of pain, there could have been joy. Instead of a symbol of a lost system, it could have been a recognition of a fulfillment of the system that God had set up to begin with. It could have moved from being a sign of the people to the sign that God had intended to be his sign, that he wanted to dwell among his people. And how God had made that happen. It could have been so much different. It was a symbol of how the people had tried to do it themselves and had failed. Of how they turned away from God's provision and failed. How they'd attempted to do it through ceremonies and failed. And how they'd missed the very significance that God had given them of what he was going to do for them. It's a visual lesson. It could be that for us today. But what strikes me most is that after the curtain veil was torn and after God's presence left, the people kept pretending. They kept going through those forms as if God was still inside. They kept doing all the same things while the temple was empty. When it had lost its significance, they didn't move to the one who it pointed to. They continued to offer sacrifice lambs for some 39 more years until God himself brought the temple down. Do you know what it is to live a religion without God inside? Do you know what it is to pretend so that people don't know that it's really vacant inside? Do you know what it is to rely on religion instead of the presence of God? Do you know what it is to walk through the form day after day after day and never connect with a living God because he's not there in your life? The curtain being torn told us that the old had passed. It was gone, and it was dead. And there was a new and living God. We can stop pretending. It was saying serendipity, God has intervened. Serendipity, God has come and touched history. Life doesn't go on like it always has in the past. Something new has happened. They've gone through their ceremonies day after day and lived their life just the same, as if God really wasn't alive. And Jesus came and they crucified him. And then Jesus ripped the curtain open to show that God was present. And they still missed it. Do you know that God's working today in the lives of people? Somebody say amen. He's doing a new and living thing today. We can't pretend that God is a God that acted in the past. Let's not go on with the everyday ho-hum. Let's look past the form and symbol and realize that there is a living God who will act today if we recognize the curtain has been torn on our old formal religion, that there's a God who wants to empower us and live today to connect with Him. There's a living God. The curtain's torn. The old is obsolete. I don't know if you've lived in a form of religion that your parents have brought to you, but I want to tell you, it won't carry you through. I don't know if you're living in what you were taught when you were a child instead of an active relationship with God, but I can tell you that that's a pretense. You need the power of a living God. A God who's today. A God who's alive. A God who rips the form from top to bottom to say, I'm here. I'm here to intervene in your life. I'm here to walk with you. I'm here and I'm alive. And I say, praise God, the curtain's torn. The old is past. And there's something even better today. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20 goes on to say, we have a high priest. The curtain's torn, we have a high priest. The sacrifice has already been offered, and we have a high priest. The curtain's torn, but the blood is still being ministered on our behalf. The curtain's torn. High school. The reality of being exposed, the curtain's torn, and I'm exposed before God. I recognize that for myself, a high school trip with the choir. We were together with that high school choir and had gone to sing at one of the areas of Jam Fest, and we were staying in this multi-purpose room of one of the schools. We decided in this hot May day that we were going to go down as a group and walk along the river, and that walk turned into wading, and the wading turned into a water fight, and the water fight turned into swimming. We had a great time, and the teacher came and reminded us of the schedule, and we had to be getting along with the act, and we came in, and we were all soaking wet, at least most of us. There were a few good kids. I wasn't one of them. Coming in wet, and we were all there, and the girls lined up at the bathroom and claimed it for their own, and we realized that we were either going to freeze dry or drip dry if we waited for them. So on one end of the multi-purpose room, we took twine and strung it from one side to the other and threw some blankets and a few sleeping bags over that twine, and the guys all gathered on one end and made jokes at the ladies who were waiting on the other side. We were having a good time and making good progress, changing and getting there and getting our wet clothes off and getting our other clothes on, getting our wet clothes off. And all of a sudden, the curtain broke. The twine across there went down. A high-pitched squeal came, and it was from the guy's side as they were running from place to place trying to find some place to get covered. The kids went quickly and tried to raise up the curtain again. That was part of them. The other were grabbing the blankets and wrapping themselves. As for me, have you ever tried to cover your face, put on your pants, and run at the same time? It's not an easy feat. And every time I think about exposure and being embarrassed, and I think of the curtain coming down and being in God's presence, I begin all over again to say, what am I in front of a holy God? I repeat the words of Isaiah, woe is me. I'm not just a man of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean heart amongst the people who are unclean. Woe is me. When the curtain comes down, there's a holy God on the other side, and He sees me in my sin. And I run for cover. It's the first heart response. I want to run for cover. The good news is, when I see myself before the curtain exposed, that I recognize that God has covered my nakedness, that He's become my intercessor, that He's ripped down the curtain that separated, that curtain that stood for all that God did for us, and He took that curtain that separated and He wraps me in the curtain, and He makes robes for me so that I can go into the presence of God. The torn curtain is not just about having my sin exposed, it's about having my sin covered, and that God has covered me so that I can come into the presence and realize that I could be with Him. and all the sin and the pain and the hurt is past. His death made the curtain. His death formed the robe of righteousness. That robe itself formed, and if you look at the veil of the curtain, it was made of different kinds of strands of tapestry intertwined. There was a white linen. It was symbolizing the purity of God Himself. There was the blue that showed that He had lived a perfect life. There was the purple that showed His position and His royalty and His right. And there was scarlet that showed how He assigned that righteousness to me through His death. The curtain was torn because God had declared it as finished, and He had done what was necessary for us to come into the very presence of God because He clothed us with His righteousness. So whenever Satan points the finger and you feel naked, remember the torn curtain. That curtain that was pulled down, that life that was given and ripped from its very presence as God wraps it around you. It's the robe of His righteousness. Whenever Satan says that you have no right to stand, just cling closer to the robe. Praise God, the curtain's torn. The old system's done away with, and there's something new. A living God, alive, walking with us today. Praise God, the curtain's torn, and that means for me, all my exposed sin has been wrapped in the glorious cover of His righteousness. I have an intercessor in the courts of heaven. The curtain's torn, and we have confidence to enter. With confidence, we can enter. There's nothing between. Nothing separating us between us and God. All the things that stood as the barrier in the past are gone. Satan has lost his hold. Satan has lost his hold. The ripped curtain showed that Satan no longer had a barrier that he could put between us and God. It had been removed. Satan no longer has jurisdiction in our life. The chains have been removed. We can walk free. The torn curtain was to say that the veil of sin has been removed through the power of God Himself. We can come boldly before the throne because God Himself has broke the chain of Satan, the hold that he had on us. So much so that Matthew 27, verse 52 declares, "And the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after the resurrection, they entered into the holy city." Do you know what's going on? Even death could not hold. The first fruits that raised up said even sin in its greatest capacity as death itself could not hold for the power of God. Satan has been defeated. He doesn't even have the power of death for those who are Christians. God raised them up so they could be in His presence. The living connection is there. Life itself has been restored as the curtain veil is ripped. And we have the opportunity to enter. The veil is torn. There's nothing between us and God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 said, "Your iniquities have been a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He does not hear," and that's all gone. That's what it's saying. The things that separated have been removed. It also says that it's already been done. The curtain has already been torn. Salvation history has hit a place where God has already offered the sacrifice. We live with salvation already accomplished. The victory is already there. It's not something I'm wanting to do, not something I'm hoping to do. It's something He has done. When we look at the opportunity to enter into the presence of God, it's not through our righteousness. It's through what God has done. It's not something we're waiting for Him to do in us. It's something He's already done. It's not some victory we're hoping for in the future. It's a victory that's now. The temple curtain has been torn, and whatever has separated you from God has been removed. Walk forward in it. The light shines from the presence of God, inviting you to come and warm your hearts in His presence. The curtain's torn.
from it shines the glory of God. The curtain's torn. The past is gone. Whatever it's been, it's gone. It went to the cross with Jesus, and it no longer stands as a barrier between you and God. The past is gone. Hebrews 10 continues, so let us draw near with a sincere heart. So let us draw near with a sincere heart. Draw me close to you. Come, pull yourself close to God's presence. The curtain is torn. I can live in God's presence. Now. Not something I wait for in the future. God did more than promise heaven by and by. He didn't just secure eternal life in the future. He opened the presence that we could be with him today. Today. It's not something we wait for. It's something we can have. All the promises of God are amen in Jesus. He's done what he's promised he would do. The IOU has been signed. The ticket to entrance has already been torn. It's open. The gate's there. Walk forward. He's given you the opportunity. Jesus wants to be our companion. The torn curtain is the opportunity to come and live with him. It's the climax of a love story where the father opens up his house and runs out to get his child and bring him back in. It's a story where Abigail can now be called to the palace of the king, her prince charming, David, because God has taken care of her former obligation to the tyrant, Nabal, the fool who she committed herself to. And God has dealt with it. And now it's open. The love story is climaxed. It's Hosea dropping the coins in the hands of the once slave owners as he picks up Gomer, his wife, and walks with her to the honeymoon. The curtain is torn. And God's saying, come home. Come on in. Come be with me. Come into my presence. Live with me. Stay with me. Let me fill your life. When I realize that, I say, Lord, just please help me not to close the curtains again. Help me not to put up sin that separates. Help me not to go my own way and try my own path. Help me not to raise the curtains that separate us, because you've torn everything down today. God, I want to come to know that experience of walking with you. The measure of our anxiety in our lives is in direct proportion to our connection with Jesus. The measure of our distance between us and God. The closer you are to Christ, the less fear. Perfect love casts out fear. His love for us and our love for him. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with judgment. And the judgment's already taken place, and it landed on Jesus, and he opened up the gates. There's no reason to fear the future, because God's presently shown us through torn curtains that he wants to dwell with us. That's what the sanctuary was all about. Make me a sanctuary that I could dwell with my people. I don't know. Maybe in my house there's room for a little icon of a torn curtain. I'll put it there next to the cross. As a symbol that an old way of religion that's just outside form and pretense is gone, that now there's a power that lives inside. That's alive. That God gave me not only access to heaven, but access to his presence. I'll keep that little torn curtain to remind me that though I feel exposed, there's an intercessor who's made me a robe of his righteousness and clothed me round about so that I can go into God's very presence with his righteousness. To let me know that there's no longer anything that separates us, that all the past is gone. The pathway is clear. and to let me know that He wants me to be with Him in His presence. I want God, since the sanctuary of old is God, I want you to come and live inside. Come and dwell in me and make this your sanctuary. Let the torn curtain be real, that it's no longer a form out there, but something that's happening in here. Let your presence be so real that others can recognize you living inside. Our closing song are two connected sanctuary, which is asking God to come in and fill this sanctuary with His presence. Secondly, that the presence of the Lord is dwelling here. But I want to make a call, as we're looking at these last few minutes, an opportunity for us to say, Lord, I want you to do that. I want you to live differently than you have in my past life. I want to open the door in my life and let you come in and clean out the closet. I want you to move deep. I want your Shekinah glory to show through me to the world, to do what you've intended, to live alive in me. You say, Lord, I want to take a new step with you. I'd like you to stand as we sing this song and make that a part of your prayer. You say, Lord, there's a new step I want to take with you. I'd like you to stand as we sing. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Something to say to the Lord that you want to leave behind the past. Now, if you'd like to walk forward as a symbol that you want to leave the past behind, you recognize God's already provided, I invite you to come forward and say, Lord, I want this to signal that the past is left and that I want to start new with you. I'd like you to come right now and say, God, thank you for the open pathway to leave the past behind. Come forward if you'd like to make that commitment. Praise God. Thank you.
The presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel
the way is open. Don't let Satan fool you. God is inviting you into His presence. If you'd like to say, Lord, I need to make a new step with you, come forward. Let Him do what you can't do, to rely on His righteousness to cover you. Thank you, God, for an open way. Let's play. Keep praying. Thank you. Mighty God, in this place, we recognize that you've opened the doors of heaven. Through the torn curtain, you've symbolized that you want to be with us and that you've done everything necessary for us to be with you. Thank you, Lord, not only for the experience of the torn curtain, but for the recognition of your love and your power. We want to leave this place new in you. In Christ's name, amen. For those who'd like to stay and pray with the elders, welcome to join these first two pews in the front. Thank you. God bless.